Here on this Friday, I get to celebrate with a longtime friend and musician I greatly admire, Tom Kniffick, Director of Jazz Studies at Western Michigan University. Welcome, Tom. As well, I'm meeting for the first time a young vocalist named Monica Pavolino, and it's really nice to have you here, too. Did I get the name?
Yes, you did.
Nailed
Thank you so much.
Okay. You are an alumna of the School of Music at Western Michigan University?
Yes. I just graduated last year.
You're here because you're featured on a new release, which will be celebrated with a live concert on Monday. Mm-hmm. This is a jazz concert on Monday, folks.
You're right.
So... Who's got any plans on Monday? I don't know of anybody that has plans.
Everybody there. Everybody's available. Come on down.
Again, the concert is at the Union at 9 o'clock, and you're celebrating a release by Mashkenada. Let's hear about it.
Well, Mashkenada is the current incarnation of over a decade of ensembles dedicated to the music of Brazil and the Caribbean. And it's the second CD from the group. Labor of love, you know, the group exists because the students want to do this music. It's not like something they sign up for, the catalog or something. It's like, it really comes from, you know, it's a total ground source. And every time the group gets peopled, it's always different tastes and different talents and different interests. So the music goes in that direction because the repertoire is pretty much all, you know, mutually agreed upon. Arrangements are all created by members of the group. And it's a fabulous collection of classic Brazilian pieces and some more contemporary Brazilian pieces. And we have a native speaker with a Cuban ancestry, so we've got a little bit of that going on, which was new for the group, you know, in terms of the repertoire and pretty exciting stuff.
Well, I'd like to hear Monica's story about what you were doing at Western and how you learned about this group and why you wanted to be involved.
Well, actually... Two of my former roommates were talking to Tom about kind of restarting Mashkenada, and it was an ensemble beforehand, and it kind of took a break, mm-hmm. a little bit of a break. So we decided to just bring it back up, and we picked students to be in the band, you know, and it was just like a chamber ensemble that you kind of just pick your buddies and kind of make the group. And there was an alumni concert. Where all these members in the previous Mashkenada ensemble came back, and you know, we were just kind of inspired to reform the group. So,
in fact, that concert was also another CD release concert. It was for the first CD that the incarnation of the group did, and brought back people from all over the country because most had graduated, just like we're doing this time. And so I forgot that that's what kind of sparked this version. That's kind of holistic.
If I recall. Downbeat Magazine admired that disc greatly.
This group has, every time I've applied for this group for the Downbeat Student Music Award competition, we've won. And that's three in a row. I've applied three times. Not three consecutive years, but three consecutive times. And I mean, who knew Kalamazoo, the center of Latin jazz pedagogy and performance and authentic performance practice?
Yeah, that's part of the story here is the attention paid to not only the style of the music, but the language.
Right.
And where, and a little bit of like context and understanding where it comes from.
Right. Yeah. So how we picked our repertoire, a lot of us just kind of felt inspired to pick a tune and we'd bring it into the ensemble. And that's just kind of how it normally goes, and it's kind of a group effort. Everybody kind of learns the music on their own, and we come together in rehearsal and kind of try to, you know, recreate and, you know, add our own flair to the music. So
what she's leaving out is that Monica, who's from the greater Chicago area, is singing in Portuguese and Spanish all the time. And, you know, this music is very, very dear to me. I've been working in Brazil since 1980 and listening to the music since I was in middle school. And it sounds right. It's remarkable. The last two incarnations of the group, this one and the previous 2 years ago, had some speakers that you know, had, it was either a mother tongue or a second tongue, so in Spanish at least, so that helped a lot. Previously, it was always just, as Monica's done, just studying the language and the dialect and people trying to get it right, and it must be an amazing journey. I think about that a lot.
Yeah.
When you get comments, it must be really validating to hear people from South American countries and traditions say, you know, this sounds right on.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think we've had performances where, like, the Brazilians from campus come and listen to us perform, and the fact that they can understand what we're saying is just great on its own, you know.
How much of the language have you learned through studying just song?
Well, I can pick up a little bit. I speak a little bit of Spanish, so with Portuguese, it's kind of a sister language. So there's some similarities in that. So I can kind of pick up on things, and it's just like translations and things like that. Yeah. So I picked up a little bit.
After attending Western Michigan University, you went on to graduate school?
Yeah, I go to New England Conservatory.
So you're based in Boston?
Yeah.
Were you surprised to hear from Tom and other members of the group saying we need to record for Mosh Kanata?
Oh, no. Well, this was a project that we thought about in the previous year. So
we started in December of 15 was our first session. Is that right? Or December? Yeah, December 15.
Right.
And then last sessions were May of 2016. And then everybody's gone, so the post-production got a little tricky. Monica actually flew back for her Thanksgiving break,
yeah.
And she mixed a lot. We mixed together the CD over Thanksgiving break, did the other post-production over the Christmas break, and here we are today.
With a new release called Sea Journey from Mosh Kanata. What is the meaning of the band name?
Mosh Kanata is a colloquialism in... You know, it's Portuguese that they speak, but just like, you know, there's the UK and there's, you know, Brooklyn and the United States and the way we speak over here, there's a lot of colloquialisms and dialects and things that you only find there. And whatever Portuguese I've heard and tried to replicate is always been the Brazilian stuff. So when I meet Portuguese people and I say my little bits, they're always like, you know, that's not how we do it here. Well, it's... That's where my influences come from. But Mosh Kanata, it means like literally like more than nothing. But it's, you know, do you understand like a more current usage of that term? It's just like...
It's kind of just like, don't worry.
Don't
about
worry, yeah. It's like, you know, a moto vantage is chill, you know.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Don't worry, be happy, maybe in some kind of way.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay, well, we'll get some more of the story, but let's hear a little music from the new album, which again will be celebrated in a live concert Monday night at the Union starting at 9 p.m.
Free and open to the public.
How about track one?
I would actually recommend track two because it sounds, when I hear it, I think about Rio de Janeiro, and I think that their dialect is fabulous. It just sounds like we're there.
Você já foi à Bahia, nega, não? Então vá, que vai um bom fim, minha nega. Nunca mais quer voltar. Muita sorte teve, muita sorte tem, muita sorte terá. Você já foi à Bahia, nega, não? Então vá. Lá tem vatapá, então vá. Lá tem caruru, então vá. Lá tem munguza, então vá. Se quiser samba, então vá. Tem caruru, tem mucuza, se quiser samba. Você já foi à Bahia, nega, não.
We heard a track from the new Mosh Kanata CD. I'm here with Tom Kanifik and Monica Pavilonio, and she's one of the vocalists on that track, which is called, please, Monica.
Você já foi à Bahia.
It sounded familiar. I feel like it's been in the Mosh Kanata repertoire for a little while. Maybe I caught you before.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've had this for the past year, yeah, that track.
You were going to tell us a little more about how you put the album together. And I was thinking about, you know, you starting your first year of graduate school at New England Conservatory. your teachers are like, Monica, do this, 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 this. And then on the Thanksgiving holiday, you're like jamming all the Brazilian lyrics back into your mind and heading to Kalamazoo. Was it like that, or did you actually?
Yeah, it was a little surreal coming back for the first time in November, and then hearing all this music that we performed all year and hadn't really thought about it, you know, in a while. So it was great actually.
Sometimes taking a break does help.
Yeah. Oh yeah, perspective helps perspective greatly, I think.
Yeah, I think it actually kind of worked out since, you know, we didn't mix right after tracking, so kind of there was some time to let it soak in, you know, and
I thought that mostly musicians laid down tracks and then walked away and somebody else mixed it.
That happens sometimes, but not how do I put this? A lot of the projects that we do through the school ends up very hands-on for us, exceedingly so. Which is great. I mean, loved it. Love to get in on it.
It's a good understanding of how recordings are made.
Monica was also a producer of this record. She was kind of like my sergeant at arms for managing the group the past year. It would have been impossible to do it without her. So I gave her, as it seemed comfortable, I gave her more and more duties. And so you will see her, you know, listed as such in the CD. So she did a lot of the mixing and a lot of the, and she has studio experience. She's been involved in the Western Sound Studios.
Tell me about
I think
about
it was
that.
Good. I like to think that, you know, what we try to do, but it doesn't work out equally for everybody, but give experiences through our program that really kind of equip you for the real world, as they say. And that means certainly more than just doing your instrument or your voice and, you know, showing up on time at rehearsal, all the many, many things that go into making a career or a life in this work. And I think that she's a great example of that, you know.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
You're very welcome. It's easy to say because it's true.
Is this the first album in which you've had this much responsibility?
Yes, definitely. I've never done anything like this before. And it was definitely a process, just trying to keep track of what needed to be done, when it needed to be done, and making sure everybody's like doing their job on time. It's kind of like a lot of things happening all at once, so it was a little overwhelming, especially since I was not in Kalamazoo. Maybe it would have been a little bit easier to just see people, hey, don't forget to do this, you know, but I'm all the way in Boston, so it was a little tricky, but it's great that we got it finished.
You know, herding jazz cats is an interesting process, you know, but it's fun. And yeah, we got it done, and that's the main thing. The trick was finding a date to get everybody back because we didn't want to wait too long. I mean, there was no particular deadline when the release concert may happen, but, you know, every year more of the band is heading off to different parts of the world. And so to find a date when we could fly people in from Miami, Philadelphia, Boston, and the people that are in the Detroit area and locally, that it came down to one date, literally, in the entire, next 5 or 6 months. It was like one date, and that's January 30th. So here we are.
The concert is Monday night, 9 o'clock at the Union. It's free and open to the public. The CD will be available there. I'd like to hear more about the CD tracks, the program of the CD, why you included certain things, and is it a mix of vocal tracks and pure instrumentals?
There's just one instrumental. We're kind of heavy on the vocals, you know, because it's such an important part of this music, you know.
And what are the stories told in the songs, would you say? Some of the themes.
Yeah, there's actually a lot going on. Like the track that we just heard, that basically the storyteller is asking, have you been to the Bay? And just like saying it's really fun and you should come. So that's one of the tunes that we do. It's all kind of different. It depends on which song we'd be looking at. We even do, you know, Beatles tune of I Fell in Love.
Oh, that's a great arrangement.
So, but that's kind of arranged in a Brazilian style. So, there's really only one tune that is instrumental. Everything else is vocal.
I see three were arranged by yourself.
Yeah.
Sam Pilnick has arranged a couple. Elliot Bilds, Kevin Dorda, Anthony Healy. So it was...
Oh, it's a group effort. It's definitely a community, you know. It's a great, great vibe. 2 years ago, that version of the band, we were able to go to a festival in the Caribbean. I don't know if we had talked about this or not. And what about half the band that's on this record is in common with that group, right? Almost like equally 50%. And Monica is the sole singer. But we opened the Dominica Creole and Jazz Festival, a little dot of an island with just a little strip of an airport, you know.
That's right.
It was pretty remarkable, and that was a real gluing together sense. And, you know, the idea was that we should really get, you know, with the next version of the band, we should really get a record down because it's just so much fun. And many of those people were heading off into the world. So, and it was after school. It was like in, I think, May. So that was sort of a farewell. And the idea is, you know, keep the group going with the new personnel and get it down, get this current version down.
Were you there on that trip to Dominica?
Oh, yeah. It was wonderful.
How long did you stay?
It was a long week. Seven or 8 days?
Yeah. I think it was something around that.
Yeah. Like a full week.
Five, yeah.
Did anything change for you, consciousness-wise, musical?
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. We got to see a lot of the island, you know. It was very small.
You could drive it in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I feel like Tom brings, from his travels, you bring so much to your understanding of music and its performance worldwide and just have gained so much.
Well, this music, I mean, in a way, I always tell the students, I say, I just do this because selfishly I want to hear this music. I want to have it around me. I mean, if we were in New York or maybe even Chicago or Miami, I might just be going out and enjoying it. But I need to have it around and I need to share my passion for it. And when I find students that come back with that passion and sometimes even greater, it's like, you know, we just have to do this. And it started for me. A lot of people don't probably remember now, but Joe Beam was popular music in this country in the 60s and 70s. It was like part of the pop music scene. So that was in the air, and I was learning it on guitar as just a little kid. And then I got to tour to Brazil, a two-week tour to Rio in 1980. Talk about changing one's perspective in life. You know, this kid from Cleveland ends up in Rio for 2 weeks. The age of 20, you know, so look out. It just, and ever since, it's, you know, I've been able to take the WJQ Western Jazz Quartet down there, I think 4 times. I was trying to count them up on the way here. But at this point, I've been to like every corner of the country. And
you've
it
also
just calls,
tried to, you know, maximize opportunities for students here in Kalamazoo.
Absolutely,
to go,
yeah,
places.
And yeah, tour. And we've brought, actually a lot of students followed us back from Brazil. I think we had like maybe half a dozen from our tours and meetings overseas that ended up here. And then they would influence. And of course, people want to gather around them and play their music. So it's just kind of, it's been a beautiful continuation, a river of all these beautiful people that love this music and need to have it in their lives as well.
Well, I was so thrilled to see you had been recognized by Musical America as one of the top 30 educators in music.
It wasn't even it was just called professionals.
Professionals.
Yeah, just said professionals. You know, I don't know where that was amazing. I just talk about out of the blue. I had no idea. You know, this it was on the cover, right? And I was like, you know, after I picked my jaw up off the floor, I tried to figure out like how. I don't even know if I know anybody that
so
is
there were
a
no
member.
Lobbying efforts on your part.
I don't even know. I don't even know who, you know. That's a very special, you know, that magazine,
it goes back.
It's like the Bible for people that run orchestras and hire soloists and management and all that. It was like, I was shaken in a very wonderful way and grateful, of course, you know.
Yeah, it certainly sheds an additional bit of glory on the rest of the school as well and students.
I didn't see that one coming, let me put it that way.
Well, it was thrilling to see. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How about another tune before we get too far so we can hear at least two or three here?
Maybe either Pablo or Ponteo? Which would you?
I would do Pablo.
Pablo Pueblo, yeah. Ruben Blade tune.
Okay, let's hear Pablo Pueblo. Wait, Pueblo.
Pueblo.
Got it.
Sí.
Es un hombre en silencio, de su trabajo cansado. Su paso no lleva prisa, su sombra nunca lo alcanza. Lo espera el barrio de siempre con el faro.
Pablo Pueblo, padre hermano.
from the new album Sea Journey. We just heard a track by Ruben Blades, or Ruben Blades. As performed by Mash Kenada. This is the group of jazz students who formed out of a love of Brazilian styles and Latin music, helmed by Tom Kinnifick, or guided, let's say.
I'm just having a good time, basically.
Are you on this album playing at all?
No, I'm not at all. I'm just kind of helping out and organizing and, you know, directorial, I guess.
As you heard, if you were listening in earlier this hour, this project is coming out now, about a year after most of the students have been involved or graduated and moved on to many different places. In fact, vocalist Monica Pavolonio is now based in Boston. And so Monday night is really your only chance to hear Mash Kenada performing the performing the repertoire on the disc.
Yeah, it's our reunion tour.
It's one chance, really, in Kalamazoo
it's
to
true.
Hear it live.
It's true. It would be so hard. I mean, it was tricky enough to get people. We had one date. I don't know if I mentioned this on air earlier, but there was exactly one date in the next 5 months that we could do this, and it was Monday, January 30th. So come on and enjoy the great spirit and the love of this music.
I wonder if I could hear more about some of the other players and maybe singers on the disc and what they're up to now. I mean, you, Monica, in Boston, are you pursuing jazz vocalists?
Yeah, I'm doing my master's in jazz performance, and it's vocals. Yeah.
Who's the other main vocalist on this disc?
Kevin Dorda is the other vocalist, and he actually, the reason why it was so difficult to get a date for this album release is that he's actually on cruise gigs now, so he's just been going all around.
He's at sea.
Yeah, and so he's in between cruises, actually, so this is like the only chance we had really to do this album release. Yes, so I'm really excited that we were able to do that, since he's just been all over the place now.
And he's from Miami originally. We have a former student, Tim Brent, who's teaching at University of Miami, and then Dade Community College in Miami, and doing vocal jazz, and he's sent us four fabulous students over the last couple of years. A pair of ladies that were on the previous Mash Kenada incarnation, along with Monica, and then two gentlemen, one of whom is Kevin Dortas, and he comes from a Cuban background, you know, and so he brings all that to it in his tastes and his dialect. And
you sent your own son down to Miami to study as well. So it's a nice simpatico.
Yeah. I saw Tim Brent at the university one time on one of the visits too. So yeah, there's definitely, it's odd, but we have a Miami Kalamazoo pipeline in terms of jazz studies programs. The head of the vocal jazz program at University of Miami is also one of our alums, who was one of my first students here when I started teaching. We're dear friends. Kate Brother Reed, and she took over that program a few years ago. Was doing a great job. So,
Is it common for a student to graduate with an undergraduate degree and spend some time performing, like on the cruise ship?
Definitely.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like it's pretty maybe even 50-50 or maybe even more students just kind of go straight from their bachelor's degree going on to perform. So it's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah. And the cruise, there are some really wonderful opportunities. I don't know if you know a fellow that's in town named Dennis Shebikov. He did a master's with me a couple of years ago.
Bass player, yeah.
Wonderful bass player and wonderful educator now. He's teaching in the Kalamazoo Public Schools. But he got into the cruises, and they liked him so much they made him a leader that he was able to recruit. And I mean, he was literally sometimes just saying, please send me players. So he was certainly, and sometimes those pipelines kind of develop that way too, with certain uncertain, and then if he didn't need anybody, he would know who might need somebody. So he developed these networks and get people working and get them traveling to exotic places.
I'd like to get a drink with somebody who spent a lot of time on cruise ship and hear some of those stories, because you know they've got to come back with a lot of great stories.
That could be one program. Maybe we'll get, you know, we'll get a bunch of alumni that have done that. We'll do like one radio program.
Cruise ship stories.
Right.
That sounds great. Yeah. I could see at least an hour on that. What about some other players? Some of them have stayed near